All right, here we go. We are now in the midah of jealousy, which yesterday we had some technical difficulties. I apologize. We've resolved them, Baruch Hashem. As you can see, my here, and you can hear me, right, Ellie? Baruch Hashem. So we discussed yesterday. I have to really start over what we did yesterday, just so it's very clear. We're here working on midos, and the basic yisod that we're saying over here is that you have to be very willing to see your chisronos, to know that we're not perfect, that all of us have bad midos, and we have to sort of resolve those bad midos. And that's that. Hold on, something went wrong with my screen. Hold on. Okay, good. So part of having, Zebby, is there a way you could put back my screen? There's something that I could see everybody? Oh, perfect, thank you. Okay, in this spot I like to see everybody just because it's nice. I keep a Goldman I can't see, but I know he looks great under there somewhere. Probably wearing a colorful yarmulke. Anyway, we're here with midos, and we pointed out that a person has to confront his bad midos and know about his bad midos, especially the midah that we're confronting right now, which is called jealousy. The reason being because jealousy actually causes you to hate people, and you don't acknowledge why you're hating people. You just sort of start hating them. And if you're not self-aware, or if you're not willing to admit that you're jealous, you're actually going to find flaws in people that really didn't do all that much wrong. All they did was that they were successful. This happens a lot with people. But if a person knows that he's jealous of someone, then he's limited in how much he can hate them, because he feels kind of dumb because of the fact that he knows the reason, so to speak, for his behavior. Okay. So let's go. Hakina gamhi eina ela chisarn yediyah v'sichlas. Jealousy is something that's foolish. Again, it's not something that's logical because there's no gain, he's going to explain. Ki eina mekanim marviach klum la'atzmo. Being jealous does not reap any type of reward in this world. Other pleasures of the world, even if they're bad, you understand why people did them. Because it's offering them some short-term gain, right? Always the Yetzer Hara, his selling point, is a short-term gain. He'll tell you that if you do this right now, it will be gishmak. Okay, it will be difficult in Olam Haba. But you know what? Olam Haba is a long way over, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. That's the way the Yetzer Hara works. He sells us a short-term gain. However, when it comes to certain things that we have, certain issues, there is no short-term gains, like jealousy, for example. Jealousy, you're not marviach anything, so what's the selling point, Bichlal? And in terms of ruining someone else's life, which people like to ruin other people's lives when they're jealous, because they would love for the person, if the guy's making a siyum on the Masechta, ooh, I would love for him to mess up at his siyum and fudge the Hadron or something else of the sort, because I'm not really happy for him. But your jealousy doesn't even mess up his siyum. You could sit in the crowd, be jealous, you feel bad, Stam. He is successful. So there's nothing that the Yetzer Hara is selling you over here. You know, like when you have revenge, for example, there's something called sweet revenge. Revenge is a short-term gain. If someone plays a practical joke on you and you do something back, so you feel like you gained because you hurt that person for that moment. You feel like vindicated. But in jealousy, you didn't do anything to the person. Actually, my son was pointing out the other day, Rabbi Yitzchak Stark Shlita, who's with us today. If you want, can I? I won't show him on here because he's a modest child, so I'm not going to show that he's here. But he told me that he understand this Mesilas Yesharim. We weren't learning the Mesilas Yesharim. We were actually learning the Mesilas Yesharim as it was quoted in the Sefer HaKesser VaHaKavod. We've used this opportunity during our bidud, which is quarantine, to go through my Sefer, and I'm giving it over to the next generation. So he asked me, he said, no, there's something called Ayin Hara, that when you're jealous of someone, you give them an Ayin Hara, and that definitely causes them damage. I do believe that he is correct on that point. However, that's not jealousy itself. That's an outgrowth. It's called Ayin Hara that does cause damage to a person, but you don't even know if you're doing that, if you're successful in your Ayin Hara, if you're not. But it's an interesting point. There are certain people, they see someone else's success and they start worrying about themselves. It's like unbelievable. You know, you hear somebody got into a certain yeshiva, you were fine during that day. All of a sudden, you start getting nervous, like something happened to you. You start getting worried about your situation and uncomfortable about your situation, which is funny because nothing really happened to you. You just, someone else succeeded in something. You know, that's the way it works. You lose the geschmack of the things that you have. You don't enjoy them. You know, a guy sits in on a chabura of his friends. His friend gives a knockout chabura. So you gave a good chabura the week before, but all of a sudden you're blown away by your friend's chabura, and all of a sudden you don't enjoy your chabura. Even though your chabura was great, everyone enjoyed it, but once you heard the chabura, l'mafreya, you stop enjoying what you did last week. It takes away your accomplishment. Mitzar mashu ro b'yad chaveiro. A person can get into a yeshiva that he's very excited about, and all of a sudden his friend gets into brisk, and he didn't get into brisk. He was so excited to go to his yeshiva, and all of a sudden now, not happy with the thing that he should have been happy with. This is what David HaMelech, the Chacham, or Shlomo HaMelech, says. It's interesting. He calls Shlomo the Chacham because Shlomo was the wisest of all men. It's interesting why he's calling them a Chacham over here. I mean, I guess he's saying Shlomo is giving us advice. This is recalled, Rakavat Samas Kina, that Kina rots the bones. The question over here we raised is, why is the Mesilas Yesharim calling this level of kina rotting the bones? So we set up shot, and we started this last time, but we got cut off, that the rotting of the bones over here, the word etzem could mean bones, or it could mean your etzem, who you are. The bones are actually synonymous with who you are because they're your build. And there's a rotting of the bones, meaning when kina comes, you start to, your own accomplishments and your own talents start to rot because you're looking outside yourself. In general, if you want to know who are successful people, there are people who are not staring at others. Anyone who's overly concerned with others, it's a very big handicap. A lot of times they'll end up losing out. I remember, you know, I've talked about this in the past, you know, when I was in Kollel, I was the only one who was into Musar to this extent. Of course, I was learning in Kollel, and I was very into my learning, but there was something weird about me. I was a little bit weird in this thing. Like, I felt like they needed me for Hanukkah Mesibas, like to speak, the Stark will speak. You know, so that was my, all that was said for my Musar was that I was able to speak in Hanukkah Mesibas. And I do remember that it was a little bit like hard, but I liked learning Revi Rochams. I didn't care that no one else learned them with me. I never had any chavrusas in Musar. I would learn Musar on my own because I enjoyed it. I would just pound Musar Svarim, as they say in this generation. And it was something that I identified with. And now, you know, it just emerged that I feel such a, I'm fulfilling such a unique need. But at times, if you're staring at other people, so then you'll end up losing a lot of the things you're good at, because the people around you are not you. So whatever they're good at is not what you're bringing to the table. If you're going to be absorbed in what they're doing, you're going to miss your shlichus, which would be a very, very sad reality. So in general, people who are overly absorbed in others miss out on their own talents. And I've seen it a lot among Bachrim and married guys. It's a real shame because by nature, you're going to have things about you that are unique, that are just for you. And if you're busy with trying to imitate other people or be overly absorbed in people's what's great about others, then you're going to miss yourself. I once saw in Rav Yerucham a fascinating thing. Rav Yerucham of Mir, he writes that he once met somebody and it was bothering him like crazy. The person reminded him exactly of someone else. And he's like listening to this guy and it's like, this person reminds me exactly of this other guy. And Rav Yerucham couldn't help himself. He said, listen, do you know such and such person? He goes, do I know such and such person? We're so close. We're like brothers. We're like this and that. And Rav Yerucham saw the scary reality. He said that this guy stole his friend's personality. Meaning Rav Yerucham understood that the person that he knew was the real guy. And he said that his friend obviously just started behaving like him, walking like him, talking like him. And Rav Yerucham writes how tragic that is, that someone could steal someone else's personality. I mean, we all are affected by our friends. I have certain friends and chavrusas that over the years, I've picked up their mannerisms and picked up their sayings. I remember there was a chavrusa of mine who, when we started, he kept starting going, he would start by saying, take it away. Take it away. That's how he started. I thought it was weird. And then recently I realized that when I start learning with my son, or somebody else, I say all the time, take it away. I mean, that's, I guess, the way maybe I do that with other, do I do that with you guys? Do I say take it away? Anyway, it's kind of funny the hashpa that people have on you, but there are levels to that. We're all creatures of habits and we're all constantly picking up lines from other people, but there's a point where we literally are robbing ourselves of ourselves and we're just imitating others because we don't really feel like we have what to contribute, and that's a terrible tragedy. So that's really the root of kinah. The word kinah, I've seen in Svarim, comes from the word, you could change the word around to ekneh. I will be koneh. You know, when you see someone has a sports car, a red sports car, that's really cool looking. So what you're thinking is, ekne, I will own this. That's actually, the Rambam holds that you're over on Lo Sachmo Doraisa when you, you know, there's a whole discussion. You're basically trying to buy the thing off of the guy, or you must have it. Ekne, kinah comes from the Lashon of Kenyan, which is, I need this thing. Kana, right? I need to possess it. And that's exactly that's the Yetzer Hara over here. The Yetzer Hara is trying to convince you that you need something that you don't. Which, by the way, Stam, we're going to get into this further, but the other side of kina is to try to be sympathetic to other people's kina. Because jealousy is a reality, it's important to be sympathetic to other people that they're not going to be so happy for you, and they're also going to be pained by some of your accomplishments, and it's not good to stick things into people's faces. I remember one time I was mentioning to a friend that my father's close with Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and this friend looked at me in a very strange way that I was very uncomfortable, and he said, "I'm very happy for you." And I was very weirded out because it was clear to me that he was not happy for me and that he was working on jealousy. And I realized that I made a mistake. I realized, first of all, that person, their father was Nifter. He wasn't a Yasum. He was an older person, a person in his 40s, but still he didn't have his father with him. And also he was obviously felt like, ooh, your father's close with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Like, so I don't have anything like that going on in my life. And I realized it was a mistake. I didn't even realize it was being showy, but it was being showy. And it reminded me of this, that people are going through a lot. Like, I was once hearing from a woman. She was saying that her friend was telling her that I don't know what to tell you. Every yeshiva gedola wants my son. It's just, we just don't know where to choose from. And this woman was going through a particular nisayon in chinuch banu mubanos, and she went into the car and just started crying. Obviously, she wasn't trying to be not happy for the person who was having such a great son and who was mutzlach, but she was going through something very difficult, and she ended up telling my wife how difficult that was to hear this woman going, "I don't know. I just have so many options for my son." But it's not just kina, meaning it's not that the person who cried was jealous. It's just when you boast your own achievements, a lot of times it just sticks it into someone's face. It's not right. So a person should always be sensitive to others and make sure that they're not like without realizing, even unintentionally, boasting about things that might be sensitive for others. A lot of people are going through challenging issues, and it's very hard sometimes to hear that someone else is doing so well. Okay, so moving on. There are people who, with jealousy, they don't get so upset when they see the accomplishments of others. But they do feel a little bit of pain, a little deflated, a little flat when they see somebody doing well and succeeding. It's hard for them. Someone asks a good kashin shir. There's a little burn over there. They get a little cold, like flat. It's like Kina has this way of just like flat, like, wow. David was Machavin Surab Kivegar, and wow, Rebbe gave him more attention than I ever got. A little burn, a little flat, like what Kina does is it makes you like deflated. It doesn't just make you you're not angry, you're deflated. You go like this. I can't explain it either way. I hope that you guys have the Zoom because you could watch me. You're like this. You're doing well this year, you're enjoying it. All of a sudden your friend asks a good kasha and the Rebbe says, "That's the best kasha of the year," and you go like this. And the rest of the shiur, you're like, you're not even paying attention. Pretty good acting, no? I like this because I can watch my facial expressions on this Zoom. Zevi gave me a good picture of myself. And I also got a haircut. I'm one of the few people who got a haircut in Bidud, in quarantine. And actually, my daughter is better at haircuts than anybody I've gone to. My beard has never been this symmetrical. So what came out of this is that I'm not going to have to go to the barber. First of all, I have no hair up here, which I always ask for a discount, which they never accepted. But here you just do a number 4 or number 5, And over here, she sculpted my beard. It's like, it's mamish a binyan. It's a binyan. Anyway, one of the downsides of Zoom is if you're making a really funny joke, you can't hear people laughing. But I assume that this was a very funny joke and that even Akiva Goldman is laughing over there in Canada. Yitzi, I see you smiling over there. Okay, good, because that was one of my better jokes. But it is really true. You can notice the symmetry in the beard. Okay, Niflos Habore. Anyway, so this guy becomes very flat. Burosim Echad Ola Eza Milo Yisera. He sees somebody had some achievement. Unless he's really his real buddy. Now, this is interesting. You're not jealous of your real buddies, but I want you to know that this is very complex because just because you hang out with somebody all day does not mean that they're your buddy. And this is a big mistake. People will think, oh, if I hang out with someone, then I should never be jealous of them because we're boys. No, it doesn't work like that. The way it works is if it's someone that you're so close to that you enjoy their accomplishments. That's how you know. If you have a friend like that, that you're so close to, that when they do something well, you enjoy it. You take pride almost. I'm zocher to have one friend like this. I do not believe I have more than one friend like this, but I think I actually have a friend like this, and I want you to know I think that's a chiddush. I think it's a chiddush to be zocher to have even one friend who's on the level to really be happy with your achievements. I think I actually have one of those. I have a friend like that, which is amazing. He's somebody that I'm not like on guard, somebody that I know if something good is happening, he'll be happy for me. And that's really wonderful to have that, but it's very rare. And just because you're best friends doesn't mean you have it either. It means you have a certain type of closeness where you feel such a camaraderie, a closeness, an ava that you almost see yourself through them, that when they're accomplishing, you're enjoying it from the side. That's amazing. David and Yonasan had this relationship. Yonasan, who was Shaul's son, was willing to give up his malucha for David HaMelech, and happily. The Ramban brings it as a real example of full v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. It's not easy to reach the level of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, where really someone else is, you love someone else like yourself. Most of us like others, not quite like ourselves, right? But it is amazing to have a friend like that. But if you don't have someone like that, they're probably going to be jealous. Most certainly, if there are people who really don't care for you, especially if they're a foreigner. Imagine you're in a corporation and all of a sudden some guy comes in from overseas. They put him in your office and he starts climbing up the corporate ladder. Everyone's looking at this guy. Who is he? Like, where did this guy come from? Meaning because he's from another place, so the Mesillas Yesharim says you're likely to have eyes on him much, much more. His lashon is ger me'eretz acheres, like, what are you doing in my space? He sees it as an invasion. It's one thing if we were like competing together, so then I would at least understand what's happening over here. But here you are, you came from left field, and like you're just like, all of a sudden, the boss is noticing you, like, what's going on? And you should know, this happens in corporations and even in yeshivas all the time. It could happen in a corporation, it could happen in a yeshiva. In a yeshiva, you could have a brand new Magid Shir that all of a sudden, or a brand new Meshiv, who all of a sudden, wow, he's just wowing everybody. And then you had a Meshiv who was sitting there for 4 years, waiting to get up to go to give a shir, and all of a sudden some new meshiv within a few months is razzling and dazzling the crowd, and the reshiva bumps him up to being a magid shir. That's incredibly excruciating pain. It's one thing if you both were there together, okay, it's painful. But also, Mesil Sharma is saying when someone comes in like that from left field, so like, what is going on over here? You feel even more of an invasion. So again, we can't say the levels of kin are when or where, but these things are very common. They're common in corporations, and they're common, unfortunately, in yeshivas too. You guys are mature enough to realize that it's very hard to find a position as a magid shir. My kids have been watching these Ura videos. I don't know if you know about these Ura videos, but I just found out about all these videos because, you know, they at the end of the day, they like to. So there's this guy named Feivush. You know about him? Feivush? He's a dollar bill that talks. Ellie, you heard of him? Anyway, they make jokes, and they were talking about this guy who became a assistant Shol Meshev for Night Seder. And they were making a whole big deal, and they were showing pictures of him, and I was trying to explain to my kids the joke, you know, because an assistant Shol Meshev of Night Seder, first of all, Shol Meshev would rather be a Magid Shir, so that's hard. Night Seder is, I was trying to explain to them, is Night Seder, and then to be assistant. So that's like three things that are pushing you to the side. Every joke has a little bit of truth to it, though. There's such an overflow, Baruch Hashem, of Talmidei Chachamim and capable people that it's very easy to get jealous in a yeshiva setting as you get older. One Magid Shir once told me in a certain yeshiva, he said, I'm so replaceable. He says, if they ever want, they could just find 10 people like me. I found that so sad. I hope it's not true. I don't believe it to be true, but it was so sad that he felt so replaceable. But in a way, the yeshiva setting is a place that could have competition too. And all these things can cause a tremendous amount of jealousy. I hope all of you have a wonderful night and a good moed and also a good yontif.